There's a balance between allowing repentance, granting repentance because people are going to change, and what's the balance? Knowing when it's not. So there's a sweet spot between I am willing to marry someone that has had to deal with sin because so have I. There's this side of the balance. Now, what makes the other side of that sweet spot? I need to recognize when change isn't coming. I need to know that I need to walk away because this deal breaker isn't going away. When is an addiction going to be conquered? And when is an addiction not going to be conquered? And you need to run away before it breaks the deal. When is sin going to be repented and changed? And when is it not? Do you see that sweet balance? So the tool we talked about last week on that side of it was understanding the purpose of this life and granting a chance to repent. Let's not be so condemning. Let's not be so critical of mistakes. I had someone come up to me after I taught this and admit that they had some alcohol problems in the past and that they went through some real severe problems with alcohol. And he says, as soon as I say that, they run. And so I find myself not wanting to say it, but I feel I need to say it. But it is not a problem. It is not a problem. It is a conquered problem. But he said, no one gives me a chance. Now, the vibe I got from him is this is an incredible man that would make a wonderful father and a wonderful husband who had a problem and conquered it. And so there's the balance. When do we grant repentance? And when do you say, this is going to be a problem for a long time? Do you see that sweet balance? So the tool we talked about last week is being willing to grant repentance. The tool we're going to talk about today is recognizing when repentance isn't coming, when change isn't happening. So it was a doctrine we looked at that this life is given to us to make mistakes and to learn and grow. So grant repentance. Now I need to talk about this side. This is another doctrine we need to understand. Let me introduce it this way. I have asked thousands of Latter-day Saints if they expect to be in the celestial kingdom, and most hesitate. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be in the celestial kingdom. And I found a parallel, okay? I have found that high school students that come out of high school and start looking at college degrees are completely overwhelmed with how to get that degree. Coming out of high school, the thought of getting, especially if you're interested in graduate work, I anticipate a graduate degree. I am absolutely overwhelmed with how to get there. I don't know how to get to that destination. But those of you who have jumped in, figured out the path, know what classes you have to take, there comes a point in the process where you're no longer intimidated. You're no longer questioning whether or not you can get to the end. I know the path. I know what classes I need to take. I know I'm more than capable. I'm no longer intimidated with the thought of getting to the destination. The reason people are hesitant at the expectation of going to salvation is the same thing. They don't understand the process. So today I'm going to teach you the process of how to be exalted. And when I'm done, you're all going to say, oh, I can do that. I'm doing that. I'm doing that right now. Yes, you are. And all you have to do is continue to do that and you will be exalted. I understand how to achieve exaltation. It's within my reach. Now, if you can understand how to achieve exaltation, you can recognize when other people are on that same path. You see where we're going with this? I can tell if you're on the path to exaltation. And I can tell when you're not. And now I know when change is likely to occur versus when change is not. Because I understand what I'm looking for in the process of salvation. So join me. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's the doctrine, how to be exalted. How do imperfect, broken, telestial mortal beings become celestial beings? How to be exalted? Well, let me tell you, that's exactly why a God came to earth to show us the way. So turn with me to Doctrine and Covenants. We're going to do this scripturally. I'm going to show you the scriptures. I want you to see them. Turn with me to Doctrine and Covenants, section 93. We're going to start there. Section 93 is one of the biggest gems of the Doctrine and Covenants, and to me, one of the greatest evidences that this is the restoration, because there's no way Joseph Smith could have produced Section 93. Section 93 is the record, at least it gives us portion of the record of John the Baptist. Now tell me, what insight could John the Baptist tell us? Matthew can't, Mark can't, Luke can't, John can't, because none of them were there. None of them were there in the formative years of Jesus, but John was. John was his cousin. He knew them. He knew 5-year-old Jesus. He knew 10-year-old Jesus. He knew 20-year-old Jesus. He knew how Jesus became who he became. So section 93. And let me start with an absolute stunning doctrine. Now, I remind you that God emphasizes by repetition. My scriptures are marked. I didn't get them marked. I never inherited marked scriptures where Heavenly Father said, let me mark the verses that are most important. So he emphasizes through repetition. There is one concept he repeats 3 times in 3 verses. Verse 12, section 93, verse 12, I, John, saw that he received not of the fullness at the first. Verse 13, he received not of the fullness at the first. Verse 14, he received not of the fullness at the first. Meaning, the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah, who was like unto God in premortal life, the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah, went through the veil and forgot everything. Baby Jesus did not know he was Jehovah. I don't know very many people who think about that and ponder that. Jesus came into the world through the same veil you and I come through and forgot premortal life, forgot who he was in premortal life. Jehovah forgot that he was Jehovah when he was born. That's astounding. I don't remember the premortal life. I don't remember what I did. I don't remember who I was. And neither did he initially. Jesus did not know he was Jehovah. So he started at ground zero, not remembering anything. He has to figure out that he's Jehovah in time to atone for our transgressions. So how did he do it? How did Jesus figure out that he was Jehovah? He went through a process called grace for grace. He preceded grace to grace, and he needed help. Thus, he was called the Son of God. He didn't do it alone. He was someone's child who helped him along. He needed help to grow grace for grace and from grace to grace until he hit the fullness. Now, when did he hit the fullness? So 12, he received not the fullness at first. 13, he received not the fullness at the first. 14, he received not the fullness at the first. Now go to 16 and tell me what it says. I, John, bear record that he received the fullness at some point. He received the fullness of the glory of the Father. Now he remembers everything. He knows what God knows. And Jehovah is back. He has returned in all his glory. Everything he knew from the premortal life has come back to him. So when was that magical moment? Let's go to verse 15. I, John, bear record, and lo, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove and sat upon him, and there came a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. When did that occur? His baptism. And how old was he?
30.
Now, I think the implication here, nowhere in print does this say this, but I think the dove was the sign to John. Not that he's the Messiah. I think John knew he's the Messiah. I think the dove was the sign that Jehovah was back. The dove was the sign that the fullness has been restored. Jesus starts his ministry knowing all things, even though he didn't start his life that way. So it took Jesus 30 years to progress through this. It's going to take us a lot longer. But he went from not having the fullness to having the fullness. And then he says, ready, verse 19. I am telling you this for what reason? I give unto you these sayings that you may understand and know how to worship. This is the path. This is how you will be exalted. I am telling you this so you can understand, know how to worship and know what you worship, and you may come unto the Father in my name. And I love this phrase. Tell me what that says. Would you memorize this? In due time, like thousands of years from now, you can receive the fullness. You've got to go through the same process. Verse 20, for if you, and we'll get to this process in a minute, if you keep my commandments, you shall receive of his fullness and be glorified in me as I am in the Father. Therefore, you shall receive grace for grace. This is how we are exalted. It's the same thing Jesus went through. It's the same process we go through. Now, he went through it a lot faster, but it's the same process. So looking back at that, grace for grace, grace to grace, tell me what this one suggests. Grace for grace sounds like what? Eric?
It's here a little, there a little. I actually have to look it up myself. And it says here, as we obey God's commandments and strive to live righteously, we receive increasing spiritual blessings and divine assistance, leading to greater spiritual growth and ultimately exaltation.
Okay, so a little bit of me, a lot of him. A little bit of me, a little bit of him. It's grace for grace. And then it's grace to grace. There's an exchange here. I have to do something and he has to do something. And then I do something and he does. There's the grace for grace. And the grace to grace suggests that it comes in small little increments, right? So here's what you're looking for. In yourself, you're saying, am I doing my part? And I can recognize I'm doing my part if I see him doing his part. If he's doing his part, I'm doing mine. And then when you're looking at a potential companion, I see them doing their part because I see him doing his part in their life. It's easy to recognize that grace for grace is occurring. Therefore, they're doing their part and Jesus is doing his part. And you know what? It's going to work out. Learning to recognize grace for grace in yourself and then learning to recognize grace for grace in each other is a critical skill. So what does it look like? Let's see if we can figure out this process. In same section, let's go to verse 28. Let me give you two eternal truths. Okay, truth number one. This is an eternal truth. And I testify he never breaks the rules here. Truth number one is if you keep his commandments, he blesses you with light, truth, power, knowledge. All of those things go hand in hand. A little piece of Godhood inside you. If you keep his commandments, he infuses into you a little piece of him. Light and truth. If you keep his commandments, you receive light. So, if I obey, I receive light. That's an eternal truth. If I obey, I receive light. I receive divine help. I receive divine assistance, power, knowledge, all of those things. If I obey, I get a little piece of Jesus in me. Now, there's another scripture. We won't turn to it, but section 83, verse 82, verse 3. Unto whom much is given, much is required. So the second half of this is, when I receive more light, let me put more here. If I obey, I receive more light. Now, what's the other part? If I have more light, I must increase my obedience. Where more is given, more is required. Now, can you already see the grace for grace process here? If I obey, what's the result going to be? If I obey, he gives me light. If I have more light, I should obey more. When I obey more, I get more light. When I get more light, I need to obey more. Do you see the cycle? It sounds like it's a little bit of me, a little bit of him, going from one step to another. When I obey the light I have, I get more light. That light empowers me, calls to me, opens my eyes, enlightens my path, asks me to step up. If I step up, I get more light. You see the process continuing throughout my life? Light comes from obedience. Obedience leads to more. No, obedience leads to more light. Light requires and invites greater obedience. See the process? Let me illustrate. Ready? We believe, scriptures teach in multiple places, that you come to earth with a little bit of light, right? Do we all agree with that? We are all born with a little bit of light. But no one is born obeying that light. Babies don't obey. Believe me, I've had 10 of them. Babies do not obey. But they are born with light. And tell me what that light does to them. It calls to them. So here's my analogy. Ready? I gotta turn the TV off. This room represents my life at birth. I am born with a little bit of light. Not much, I can vaguely see a few things. I have a little bit of light. Now, that light calls to me. I notice with the light that I have that these desks are a mess. I can see a mess. I have enough light to recognize that the desks are a mess. And so, noticing that they're a mess, I tidy up. I use the light that I have and I clean up my life. Now tell me what's going to happen when I tidy up my life, when I do with the light some cleaning. I'm just going to get a little bit of light. Now I wish I could do it in a smaller increment, but this is a classroom and no one needs a little bit of. But bear with me. You don't realize what an increment of light this is. Let me show you the next one. Ready? Here's the next one. Here's the next one. No, that's the last one. And then this one. So bear with me. Let's go back to this level. Okay? So I went from no light. I cleaned up. And then I got a little bit of light. Now, with the new light, tell me what's going to happen. With more light, what happened when I added that little bit of light? I can see more clearly. Now, bear with me. This is a bare classroom, but bear with me. Now that the light has increased, I can see that the pictures are crooked. Just bear with me. I can see that the pictures are crooked. Oh, my goodness, the pictures are crooked. Oh, that's horrible. Now, let me ask you a very, very important doctrinal question. Why didn't I fix the pictures when I fixed the desks? Do you understand that? I couldn't fix the pictures. I couldn't fix the pictures because I couldn't see them. I didn't have enough light to see them. And now that I have the light, I can see them. That is an important eternal concept. You and the people you love cannot fix problems they don't see. You might have more light than the people around you, and you might be able to see the problems, but they don't have enough light to see it. Remember that when you have teenagers. I can't fix pictures I don't see, and I didn't have enough light. Now, let me tell you the choice I have right here. Now that I see that the pictures are crooked, I have two choices. What are my choices? Let's do the negative one first. Okay? I stare at the pictures and say, they're crooked. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care that they're crooked. Yeah, I can see they're crooked, and I don't care. Now, you have a loving Heavenly Father who says, if you don't care and you don't want to fix them, you don't have to look at them anymore. You don't have to look at them anymore. And he will take the light away. That is a reality of mortality. He will take the light away and you don't have to see them. Now, it is my testimony that no one loses all light in mortality. No one. Maybe after mortality, but in this life, no one loses all their light. So, no matter how sinful you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you didn't care, you always go back to a position of having some light. And if I take the light that I have and fix the desks again, what's going to happen? That light that I lost will come back. That is my testimony. There is no one you date. There is no one you marry. There is no one you raise that loses all light. They are taken back to a point where they can act on that light and increase their light. Now, let's suppose I tie up the desks again. And the light comes back on, and I see the crooked pictures again, and this time I say to myself, I'm going to fix those pictures. I'm going to fix the crooked pictures. Now what happens? As soon as I fix the crooked pitchers, the light increases. Do you see how mortality works? Yes, we lose light. But you can just go right back to living up to the light that you have and increase that light. Let me show that to you in the scriptures. I got to turn this back on. In Alma, if you want to turn with me, go to Alma chapter 12. Alma chapter 12. Go ahead. Someone had a hand, right? There it is. Well, let's read the scriptures. We'll just let the scriptures define it, but you're right. I refuse to change the pictures. He gave me the light. I can't throw the light he's given me away. He takes it away. It was him that gave it to me. He takes it away. But my refusal was in what? Not changing the pictures that I saw were crooked. And so he says, go to Alma chapter 12. Let me show you how high and how low we can go. Ready? This is Zeezrom during his wicked days. And Alma says, let's start how high we could go. How high can I go? This is Alma chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the world. And he that will not harden his heart, meaning you fix the pitchers. I saw that they needed to be crooked and I fixed the pitchers. If you fix the pitchers that you now see need to be fixed, to him is given the greater portion. You'll get more light. Until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God until he know them in full. How high can I go? How high can I go? All the way. I can receive a fullness. How low can I go? And I believe we're talking eternally, not mortal. I feel, and someday I'd love to show the scripture chain, but I don't believe anyone can lose all light in mortality. I think there's a safety valve. No one loses all light. But sometime, at some point, you can't. I believe Satan has lost all light. And so he says, he that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion. We go back to a lesser portion. A lesser portion of the world until they know how low can you go? Eventually, how low can you go? Until you know nothing. And that's life. You either fix the pictures you can see and get more light, or you ignore it and go back to the lesser portion. And some people are losing light. And the less light in this room, how am I going to live my life if I lose light? I'm going to be bumping around, aren't I? But let's go back to I fixed the picture. Now, what happens when the light increases, after I fix the pictures and the light increases, now I see more clearly and I have something else I notice I need to fix. Life is a matter of, let me show you the next thing and you fix it. If you fix it, I'll show you the next thing. And if you fix that, I'll show you the next thing. And if you fix that, I'll show you the next thing. And we're just going to keep going until you know all things. But if I show you the next thing and you refuse to fix it, we'll go back to the lesser portion. And I'll wait until you act on that light and move forward. You see the process? So before Nick, let's get to this defining scripture. Everyone go to 2 Nephi chapter 28. I think this is the defining. This is the description of life. 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 30. 2 Nephi 28, verse 30. Beautifully stated by Nephi here. This is the process. You're either going one direction or you're going the other. And you need to go the one direction. And you need to recognize when the people you're dating are also going that direction. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken. Blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth will I give more. And from them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. That's the rule. We live by this process, everyone. So somewhere in some part of this world where they've never heard of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what do they have inside them? A little bit of light. And if they act on that light, what are they receiving? More light. And it's okay if they live their entire life and never hear about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because the test is, are they improving on the light that they have? And if they are, they're getting more. If they are not, they are getting less. And they are moving one direction or the other. So the test is, do you see light increasing? Do you see light increasing? Now, this is hard because it's often it's very difficult to perceive, right? Let me show you a very interesting. Oh, wait, Nick, we got to hear from Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
How do you not jump line upon line, precept, that's fine. But how do you not feel as if it's not enough?
You don't know it's not enough. I don't know. I don't know it's not enough because the only thing I can see with the light that I have is what? What the light shows me. Basically, what you're asking is, how come you didn't fix the cobwebs when you fixed the pictures? And the answer is, I didn't know anything about cobwebs. I didn't know. So let me testify of something I think Nick is saying. Here's the problem. When I can't see the pictures, are there people in my life that can? And they have a tendency to lovingly do what? How come you're not fixing the pictures? They lovingly chide me for not fixing the pictures. And that's the expectation. Well, wait a minute, I should be fixing the pictures. Where are the pictures? I don't know where the pictures are, but I should be fixing the pictures. Here's the reality. I can't fix what I don't see. And I sense that you see something that I don't see. You know what? Stick it in your ear. I am not going to live that way and somehow feel bad that I'm not fixing something I can't see. God does not require you to fix something you can't see. No matter what people say to you, if you can't see the pictures, you can't fix them. But someday, I testify, you will see the crooked pictures. And then you're going to say, oh, that's what I should have been doing all along. And yeah, you'll be embarrassed, as I am. But then you need to say to yourself, I couldn't see it. And that's okay. I need to focus on what I can see. Now, if I were to ask a question, does everyone in this room know something that they clearly need to fix? That the Lord has clearly pointed out, and I see very clearly that I'm doing it wrong, and I know exactly how to fix it. I guarantee there's not a person in this room that cannot identify something in their soul that they know the Lord expects them to be working on. So we all have enough light to see that one thing. You fix that one thing, he'll show you another. Now, let me point out a reality. And I get this a lot. I have a lot of people come to me very discouraged when they try to be good. And they say to me, every time I try to be good, it's like I'm getting worse. Every time I try to improve, it seems to me like I'm getting worse. And I'm like, do you see why? Do you understand why? And then when it dawns on them, it's not evidence that they're getting worse. What's happening in their life? Tell me what's happening in their life. They're increasing in light and seeing the next thing I need to fix. And then as soon as I fix that, they'll see another broken thing that needs to be fixed. That's not evidence that you're getting worse. It's evidence that you're getting much better. So here's what you need to do. You need to examine your life and realize how much you've changed. You need to understand, I'm growing grace for grace. I love more. I act better. I'm not fixing the things that I needed to fix years ago. You need to see in your life growth. If you love God more today, if you care more deeply today, if you want to be better, you're growing. You are growing grace for grace. If the thing you see that's broken today is not the thing you saw years ago, you're growing. That you need to recognize in yourself. Now, here's the challenge. I think we need to point out this fascinating verse in the Book of Mormon. When the Lamanites changed, what does it say here? The Lamanites got the Holy Ghost, were baptized with fire, and they knew it not. Because sometimes, let me tell you what's happening. Sometimes we instinctively start fixing the pictures and we don't recognize that I now see them when I didn't before. For some of you, it's just a natural thing to start fixing pictures without realizing, wait, I couldn't see them before. I'm growing. Do you see growth in yourself? And the key is, can you recognize growth in other people? Can you recognize light? Let me give you an example in a relationship. Hey, that really hurt my feelings when you said that. And guess what? Tomorrow, they're not going to say it. You opened their eyes to a change that needed to be made, and they made the change. That's growth. When I point out that you have crooked pictures and you see them, you change them. Now, that's very different than, that really hurt me.
Good.
What you said. That really hurt me. And then the next time they say it again. And I point out that it hurt me. And then they say it again. And I point out that it hurt me. And then they, at some point, you need to wake up to what reality? They are not growing in light. I am not seeing the grace for grace change that indicates that Darth Vader is becoming Anakin Skywalker. That's how you measure. That's the tool. You need to see it in yourself and you need to begin to perceive it in others. I can recognize in my children when I point out something and there's change. I had to have an awkward conversation with a teenage son recently about body odor and deodorant. Bless his heart, innocent kid, didn't really understand that you are used to that smell, we are not. And it needs to change. It was an awkward conversation, but I brought light to my son, and guess what? I have not had to have that conversation again. I have not had to have that conversation again. And you know what that did to me as a parent? As a parent, I said to myself, this son is growing in light. And I see growth in my son. Now, does he still do dumb things that I think are dumb? Yeah, but that's because why? I have a lot more light than he does, and I shouldn't hold him accountable to the light that I have because I see him growing in light. And I'm very encouraged by my son. Even though sometimes I go, and that's okay. Do you see what that means for a dating scenario, a future companion? Now, you can't fake that. And I testify that you need to see growth in yourself. You owe it to your companion to grow in light, to show them that you're growing in light. I am so sorry that I hurt you. I will not do that again. And I don't. I owe to my spouse my growth. And I expect growth in return. And when I see it, I'm encouraged that things are going to get better. I'm going to get better. I can tell her that I'm going to get better because I'm growing. I'm sorry that my pictures are crooked because I can't see them, but someday I will. You see the very practical how to measure human relationships. I'm not being judgmental. I'm recognizing incremental growth, and that tells me that when they see that the pictures are crooked, they will fix them. Now, can I give you what I believe is the greatest promise that has ever been given in the scriptures? And you need to grant it to yourself, and you need to grant it to the people that you date. In 2 Nephi, would you turn with me to 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 31? I believe this is the greatest scripture, the greatest promise in scripture. It is not often that Heavenly Father puts His name on a promise. Usually he lets a prophet make a declaration and that's good enough. Sometimes we tie the name of Jesus to a promise. Here we tie the Father himself to a promise. What chapter is this? This is 31, 2 Nephi 31, verse 20. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. You're looking for someone who is moving forward in Christ. Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, ready, here we go. Here is the most beautiful promise I've ever read in the scriptures. If you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end. Meaning death. If you are moving forward slowly, if you are increasing grace for grace, if you are growing grace for grace when you die, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. If you are growing grace for grace, however slowly, but growing grace for grace, when you die, for all practical purposes, your calling and election was just made sure. Thus saith the Father, your spouse is going to have eternal life. No one's going to be there when we die. But no one falls off, no one moving forward falls off the path in the spirit world. Yes, there are some people off the path that are able to come back, but no one falls off the path in the spirit world. If you are increasing in light when you die, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. Be patient with yourself. Recognize growth. Recognize change. I love the Savior more deeply today than I did in the past. I am striving harder today than I ever remember striving, which means I'm growing, however slowly. I see growth in my son. I see growth in my wife. I see growth in my children. I know we're on the path. And if we all stay on that path, thus saith the Father, we're going to have eternal life. At some point, now, let me, Lehi recognized in Laman and Lemuel, what did he see? They're not growing. I am worried about my sons. At some point when you're dating, you need to perhaps say, I am worried about Laman and Lemuel. There are deal breakers that are not going to change. Versus, I would marry Nephi in a heartbeat because I see in him growth. You see the difference? What we can begin to perceive if you recognize how growth comes. I bear you my testimony, you're doing better than you ever thought you were. I don't think you would be here if you didn't hunger after light. Tell me if there was a previous you who would not be here tonight. And you're here tonight. Tell me what that means. You're doing better than you thought. Now, marry someone who's moving forward. Grant them a chance to repent because they're moving forward. But recognize when you don't see that growth. Recognize it in yourself and recognize it in them. At some point, you need to say, this is a deal-broken relationship and I need to get out before it breaks in a more painful way. I bear you my testimony that if you are on the path, if your spouse is on the path, if your children are on the path, if they are moving forward, if you and everyone you love is simply moving forward slowly, thus saith the Father, they shall have eternal life. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.